Welcome to Let's Talk Packaging. I'm your host, Alec. On this show, we get into the nitty-gritty of the boxes, bags, and containers that define our consumer world. Today, we're talking about a massive shift in food culture, one that's being driven by a force you might not expect, new weight loss medication. It's a phenomenon that is fundamentally reshaping how people eat, what they buy, and what kind of packaging they're looking for. And to help us unpack all of this, we have an expert in the studio. Scarlett is a senior analyst in market research, specializing in food and beverage brands. Scarlett, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Alec. It's a fascinating topic, and it's moving faster than a lot of people in the industry realize.
Faster is right. So let's start at the beginning. We're talking about GLP-1 medications, things like Ozempic and Wegovy. What are you seeing from a market research perspective? How big is this trend really?
It's enormous, and the numbers are staggering. Recent research from Circana shows that as of last fall, 23% of U.S. households were using these medications.
Wow, 23%? That's roughly 30 million households. That's not a niche market. That's a seismic shift.
Exactly, and the number is growing rapidly. These medications primarily work by suppressing appetite and, in some cases, altering taste perception. The immediate result is that people eat less. The data shows households using them for weight loss reduced their overall grocery spending by about 6% within just 6 months.
So it's not just a health story, it's a major economic one. But is it really just about people eating less overall?
That's the most interesting part for our industry. It's not just about eating less, it's about eating differently. Purchases of calorie-dense processed items, things like chips, cookies, and sugary salad dressings, have declined significantly.
Okay, that makes sense.
Right, but at the same time, spending on items like yogurt, fresh produce, meat snacks, and nutrition bars has actually increased. Consumers are actively seeking out protein-rich and functional foods. And that change in what they buy has huge downstream effects on packaging.
This is the core of it then. If you're a packaging distributor, a food producer, or a retailer, this trend is already hitting your bottom line, whether you've put a name to it or not.
Absolutely. A senior analyst at Rabobank put it perfectly. He said, as more consumers begin their journey with anti-obesity medications, their changing relationship with food will have significant implications for packaging producers. Those shifts in order volumes and format requests that companies are seeing, this is a major driver.
Okay, so let's get specific. How are these shifts playing out across different packaging types? Let's start with flexible plastics, the stuff of snack bags.
That's a great example. For flexible plastic, we're seeing a decline in demand for traditional snack packaging. Think about those large, multi-serve chip bags. They're struggling. But at the same time, there's growth in resealable pouches for things like protein snacks or jerky. Single-serve, portion-controlled formats are winning.
So my giant party-size bag of chips is in trouble. Got it. What about rigid plastics? I'm thinking of those big tubs of yogurt or ice cream.
Same story, different material. There's a definite pullback in multi-serve formats. Large tubs of yogurt, family-sized frozen meal trays, those are seeing less demand. But demand is very strong for single-serve high-protein dairy cups and functional beverage bottles. It's all about individual portions.
Interesting. It sounds like convenience and portion control are king. Now, what about glass? It always has that premium, healthy perception.
Glass is facing a bit of a double challenge. First, declining alcohol consumption hits that sector. Second, many traditional glass-packaged items, like sugary jams, spreads, and sauces, are falling out of favor. However, its health-conscious appeal is a major asset. There are big opportunities in premium functional beverages, probiotic foods, and artisanal products where that clean, inert perception really matters.
Okay, and to round it out, what's the story with paper-based packaging?
We're seeing a pivot there, too. The demand is shifting away from things like sugary cereal boxes, but it's growing for protein bar multipacks, the secondary packaging for high-protein yogurts, and components for healthy meal kits. Again, it's a move from traditional carb-heavy products to protein-forward functional items.
The pattern is crystal clear: smaller, single-serve, and functional. So how fast is this change really happening? Is this something businesses need to worry about 5 years from now, or was the meeting supposed to be yesterday?
The meeting was definitely yesterday, but you have time to catch up. The projections are what's really eye-opening. Circana estimates that by 2030, if current trends continue, 35% of all food and beverage units could be purchased by GLP-1 households. That's a massive slice of the market.
More than a third of the market. That's a fundamental reshaping of the grocery aisle.
It is, but what's crucial to understand is that this isn't just about the people taking these medications. This trend is accelerating broader wellness movements that were already happening. Even people not on these treatments are now more focused on higher protein consumption, better gut health, portion control, and avoiding ultra-processed foods. The GLP-1 phenomenon is acting as a huge catalyst for the entire wellness market.
That's a fantastic point. It's not a siloed trend. It's lifting the tide for the whole health and wellness category. So for our listeners, distributors, buyers, retailers, what's the playbook? What should they actually be doing right now?
Well, based on research from Rabobank, there are four key actions for distributors. First, assess your asset flexibility. Can your production lines pivot from multi-serve to single-serve? Can you adapt from traditional snacks to fresh produce applications?
So agility is key. What's second?
Second, strengthen your sustainability credentials. The data is clear that health-conscious consumers are also eco-conscious. Things like recycled content and fiber-based alternatives aren't optional anymore. They're table stakes.
Makes perfect sense. And third?
Third, collaborate closely with your customers. The distributors who win will be the ones who partner with brands to develop innovative, high-impact packaging that meets these new consumer needs. And fourth, tied to that, is to diversify your portfolio. Don't put all your eggs in the traditional formats basket. Start expanding partnerships with emerging health-focused brands to get ahead of the curve.
That's a fantastic, actionable list. And for retailers, is the advice similar?
For retailers, the main directive is to rethink the entire store assortment through this new lens. Research shows that specialty stores and value formats are gaining market share right now. That's because they're better and faster at curating their selections for these new consumer needs.
So some categories will decline, but others are set to boom. The question isn't if this is happening, but whether your business is positioned to capture the growth. Scarlett, this has been incredibly insightful. Thank you.
My pleasure. The takeaway is that success in this new landscape will depend on the ability to realign production, innovate with materials, and collaborate with brands. The GLP-1 revolution isn't coming. It's already here. Packaging strategy just needs to catch up.
A perfect summary. A huge thank you again to our guest, Scarlett, and thanks to all of you for tuning in to Let's Talk Packaging. We'll see you next time.